You're listening to Off the Record here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with myself, Heather McLeod, in association with Tower Records. And I'm joined by one of the members of the Radiators from Space here this evening, Pete Holiday. I'm presuming it's Holiday. It's got an interesting spelling.
Yes, it is Holiday, yes, but it is a nom de plume, as they say.
Yeah, it's kind of
like...
It served
me well, except for it gets spelt differently on many occasions, you know, but yeah. You know, I've got used to that, the wrong spellings, you know.
Well, listen, my surname's McLeod, so I completely understand where you're coming from. So we're here to talk about the band. People should have heard of you guys. You've been around since the sort of mid, late 70s, something like that.
Yeah, we first gig, I think, was in 1976, November 76, and then we released a record. Our first record was released in April 77. Okay. Television Screen, that was called.
And that is actually available on YouTube. I was watching that earlier on today. But you have a gig, I think your first gig, you were saying to me, in about 5 years.
Yeah.
This coming September in the Academy in Dublin.
Yeah. Saturday the 8th of September.
Saturday 8th of September. So yeah. I was just going to go back a bit. I suppose the first time I was saying to you there that I ever saw the band was, I think, 2005. And you were one of the support acts for U2, actually, at Croke Park.
Yeah.
And Bono, and I suppose the band would cite you as a band, as a sort of bit of an influence and inspiration to them.
I think there was a very, very early connection with, you know, Steve Averill or Rapid, who was our main singer when we were starting out, knew Adam. I think he knew Adam and Bono and the lads. When we went professional, Steve decided to stay in Dublin. So when we went off, the four-piece band went off to London on the back of a record deal and releasing records in the UK, Steve stayed at home and he began to work with U2. And they weren't even called U2 at the time. I think they were called The Hype.
Yeah.
And Steve got involved with them in terms of the graphic design. And he's been their graphic designer. He's designed all their album covers since Boy onwards, you know.
Yeah.
So Steve's, that's the sort of connection there, you know.
And the name we're chatting there about, the name is The Radiators from Space, but as you're saying to me a lot of the times, the From Space bit would be kind of secondary or small, and so a lot of people refer to you as The Radiators, but where did you guys come up from, The Radiators from Space?
Well, again, we had a whole range of names. Like, you know, if you look at on our sort of website, which is, if you go, say, to theradiators.tv and go to the history, you'll see, like, in our early days, we would change our name every week, you know. And at one stage, I think we were called the Rockets. And a lot of garbage in the trash cans, I think, was one of the names very, very early on. Then suddenly Steve, said, look, I've got this idea for a name, The Radiators from Space, you know, and The Radiators being heat, like we're a hot band, and the From Space bit is like a reference to the old B movies that used to get in the cinemas, you know, like The Killer Tomatoes from Outer Space, you know, because the whole sort of punk do-it-yourself ethic. Yeah. So it basically, that's the From Space bit was to make it like a B movie connection there, you know.
Yeah, and as I said, I think the last gig you guys did was around, was it 2007 in the Voodoo Lounge?
Yeah, that's when Philip Chevron had been diagnosed with throat cancer. Thankfully, it was like the early stages, and he, you know, we're actually rehearsing with Philip, and he got a call from England saying that he had to start treatment sort of immediately. And that left us in a position where we either had to sort of pull the gig. So we looked at the alternatives and we decided maybe to go ahead and do the gig. And then we gave Gavin Friday a call and said, you know, would he mind, you know, would be into doing it, which he, you know, thankfully he agreed to. And it turned out it was a great night anyway, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's a shame.
And
though,
just on as a footnote, like Philip obviously has made a full, complete recovery. So, you know.
So very much.
He will be there.
I think probably even more so than the rest of the band, very much looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Haven't missed that one, perhaps, you know.
Yeah, so it's sort of a welcome back for Philip anyway, you know.
Definitely. And I was reading here that, like, as you say, sort of re-emerged now this year to do that. But you also released a studio album called Sound City Beat. You're telling me it was sort of covers of Irish bands, but not your typical Irish bands that people would maybe think when they think history of rock music in Ireland.
Yeah, when you think of the history of rock music in Ireland, you know, the starting point for a lot of people, it would be like Taste and Horselips and maybe Thin Lizzy. But there was a whole rake of bands around, you know, from the tracks that we're covering on the album from 1962 to around 1972. There's a whole lot of little Irish psychedelic bands that maybe released one or two singles. quite often are on their own labels, and they, you know, they didn't really get a foothold. Some of them were more successful than other ones. I suppose the one of the best known ones that we covered was a band called Era Apparent, who actually signed to Track Records, which was Jimi Hendrix's label, and Jimi Hendrix produced their album. And I mean, they had people like in the band, like Henry McCulloch, who's still going strong today. He was in Era Apparent. There's a band called Sugar Shack, who had Brian Downey, who was went on to drum with Thin Lizzy, was in that band. There's a band, another band we covered, were a band called The Movement, who was at one stage had Brush Shields and Phil Lynott were both in that band, and so on and so forth. You know, there's lots of really interesting bands. We paid our tribute to them. I still encourage people to try and find the originals if you could hear them, you know. There's actually a website, I think it's Irish Show Bands, website that has a lot of the original tracks actually streaming on it, you know?
Yeah, of these things.
It was a labour of love for us, you know. We financed and made the record ourselves. We now have sort of a license out to Chiswick Records, which is based in London for the world, and it's available all over the world. It's great.
And the punk and post-punk scene, particularly in Ireland, I've noticed is resurfacing or re-emerging a lot at the moment. I spoke to
I think it's always been there. It tends to sort of go underground and then pop its head up occasionally, you know. I think while I suppose we're considered a punk band, but I think, you know, we are in spirit, you know. I think we've evolved, you know, into a sort of a multifaceted type of band anyway. But I think we still have the punk ethic. We still believe in now what we believed in, you know, 30, 40 years ago. You know?
And there's more of these bands, I suppose, coming back from other places as well. Like, you know, The Fall, I think, we're playing the other week. Pill will be playing this weekend. Yeah. So it's something people are taking interest in.
I think so, but it depends how you do it. I think you have to be really careful that you don't fall into this almost like, what's the best way to describe it, like almost like a cabaret band version of yourself, do you know what I mean?
Because
when we did reform a few years back in around 2004, it was the second or first or second anniversary of Joe Strummer's death, and we all happened to be in Dublin, and there was a gig on in town, and we said, would you mind if we came along and played a couple of songs, which we did. And then from that point we said, well, let's do something, you know. But what we didn't want to do is maybe go out and start playing all the old material. So we began to write new material, you know, and what happened in 2006 then, we actually recorded a brand new album called Trouble Pilgrim, which had like 14 brand new songs. And then we've done the odd gig, you know, because we all, as you know, like Philip Chevron plays in the Pogues, and Steve is a, you know, graphic designer. Johnny Bonney, our drummer, has played with other bands as well.
Yeah,
you know?
So we kept busy anyway.
Yeah, we kept busy. Yeah.
But this gig, you said, so I suppose is the first big one in the last sort of five years. So are you must be looking forward to it, maybe a bit in sort of in trepidation as well, you know?
No, we'll be fine. Yeah, it is the first gig for a long time. I think since 2006 anyway, you know. But, you know, we're at the early stages of rehearsal at the moment, and now we're really looking forward to playing
the Academy. Is that your first time playing in that venue?
Well, funny enough, myself and Steve were invited to play with the Justice Tonight gig that was there a few months ago, or last month I should say. That's the band that featured like Mick Jones of The Clash, Pete Wiley of The Mighty Wah, The Farm, and others. And they were doing this tour. You know, they do like sporadic gigs on behalf of the victims of the Hillsborough disaster. So every time they come into a town, they ask for local people maybe to come up and play with them. So we were invited to play for two songs at the end of the set in the Academy. So.
So
hopefully we can get all those people down. You know, they'll you know, if we can get all those people to come along to our gig, it'd be great.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. And I suppose that you say it's good that you guys are multifaceted in the industry, because I was reading that you were involved in producing that album recently as well.
The Sound City Beat album. Yeah, well, the last two albums we've funded ourselves and we've produced that ourselves. I think, you know, once you get some experience behind you, you tend to have a producer early on to find out about yourself, you know, what yeah. you're good at. And once you know what you're good at, then there's less need maybe for a producer unless you want to go off in a different direction. So yeah. basically we know how to make records and we know how to write songs and we know how to engineer and produce ourselves. So we do it ourselves.
Yeah. Sure. And I saw that in terms of the poster as well, I just happened to see last night, in fact, with yourselves and I think you've support from the Stripes.
Yeah, the Stripes, as we know, are the young kids. They're like 15 and 16. They fit into that category that suits the theme of the Sound City Beat album, where they're, you know, they're like a 60s sounding band. They're an amazing live band. I've seen them a couple of times, and we just felt it'd be nice to bridge this gap of 40 years between yeah. like the, you know, in inverted commas, the legendary Radiators with the young kids, that, you know, the young kids on the scene as well. So, yeah. you know, I think it's as a package, I think it's actually really exciting, you know.
Yeah, and the poster, as I say, is very good as well. It's not just your typical, here we are.
Well, that's not
the
I know the poster you're referring yeah. to, but that was Steve sort of whipped that up yesterday, believe it or not.
Well, I can believe it because it's him, but anybody else.
No, but I love it. And I mean, hopefully it'll become the official post. I mean, just to describe it for the listeners there, it's a very retro looking, typical sort of 60s touring poster where you'd have, you know, in person appearing would be the Radiators along with the Stripes, mm-hmm. etc. And the visually, it looks very much like a post that you would have got in the 1950s and 60s. Yeah. So hopefully that becomes the official
with
poster.
Floating heads.
But look out for it. You know, it's been flying around, being shared all over Facebook, so, you know, have a look for it anyway.
That's good. And how you do,
sorry, there is an official Facebook Radiators okay. from Space page as well.
As well. Yeah. And how are you, just in terms of when you're saying that, I saw that, like I say, that poster, Facebook and people cheered it.
Yeah, yeah.
How, I suppose, coming from an era in the 70s where, you know, you recorded these big records and put them out and did gigs and stuff, how now, 30, 40 years or whatever on, are you finding the technology? I don't mean like can you use it, I just mean is it a very handy tool now for you?
You mean the internet for marketing and promoting?
All these things, yeah.
Well, it's the thing about new technologies is it doesn't necessarily have to take the place of old technologies. It's just you can just add it to it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. And certainly the internet, you know, utilizing the internet doesn't necessarily mean more people turn up to the gig. You know, if people like you, doesn't mean they're going to turn up. If people say, you know, that's one thing I've learned from, because I teach out in Ballyfermot College as well, right? One thing we know, if people say they're coming to your gig on Facebook, doesn't mean that they're actually going to turn up. So you can never, you know, you're never sure until people do. The best way is to sell tickets and then you know.
Right? You know,
but it's a brilliant, you know, utilising the internet, you know, via Facebook and MySpace and the official site, etc. You know, it's a great tool, you know, and it's great for, say, building up a mailing list and just keeping people informed, keep them engaged, you know.
Definitely. So it's not the fan letters anymore then?
No.
The email letters.
Yeah, we all used to get sacks of fan mail, we did, yeah.
I know. Still opening them now. I can hear them down at the GPO. Yeah. But the gig, anyway, just I'm going to give out these details again, is the 8th of September in the Academy. People can get tickets.
Doors at 7:30.
Stripes are supporting, handing it
special
tickets.
Special guests,
Tickets at ticketmaster.ie.
Yeah.
Your website, as you said, is theradiators.tv, and people can check some more of your music, I guess, and videos on YouTube as well. Yeah. So, have you anything else, I suppose, once the gig is, that must be the big thing at the moment, have you anything planned then for the rest of the year? Or?
Well, what we're looking to do maybe is to maybe add a few more gigs before Christmas. You know, hopefully that's just the plan. We'd love to play, say, up in Belfast. We haven't played there for years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe head down south now, so maybe Cork or somewhere like that.
And with the technology,
if there's demand, you know, if people want to see the Radiators, they need to get onto their local promoter and say bring them down, pester them down, and we'd be more than happy. Like we, for example, we always get you know, we've got a Japanese fan base who always contacts and say, we want you to come to Japan. So we'd love to come to Japan, but who's going to pay for it? Yeah. Like, we can't afford to pay for it, that's for sure.
Yeah. But I suppose with technology now, you never know, the Radiators from space may play in space sometime.
Yeah, well funny enough, yeah. There's no reason to do that. Well, no, well that's talking about the technology, there's no reason why, for example, that, you know, you couldn't stream a live event, maybe even the Academy gig. On the internet, you know.
For your Japanese fans, anyway.
For the Japanese
from the sound
fans,
of it,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Anyway, Pete, thanks very much for joining us on the programme.
You're more than welcome.
We're going to play another one of your tracks now, and we look forward to seeing you on the 8th of September in the Academy.
Love to see you there.